Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Joy of the Lord. We're going to have a wonderful time tonight. We're going to keep on in Matthew 24, and we will definitely not finish tonight. We are going to probably be, I'm expecting at least another few weeks. We should probably get through about verse 12 tonight, and I hope that you find it as exciting and wonderful and informational and joyful as I do. So let's get started. Father, we are so thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace, the salvation, the sacrifice, everything that you give to us, your Holy Spirit who provides us with the joy, everything that you give to us. We are so thankful. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you give me the words that you would have me say this very evening, so that I can impart all wisdom that you would have me to give on this chapter, that talks not only about the Great Tribulation and the Rapture, but it really deals with so many things that often people just don't really realize just how much it deals with. So we thank you for that, Lord. And I just ask that you give whatever words that you want for each person who will be listening. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we're going to be starting tonight in verse 9. We're going to be starting in verse 9. And we really ended, we ended in verse 8 last week, which spoke of the beginning of sorrows or birth pains, right, which we said was also in Revelation 12:2. So now we are going to verse 9, and we just sort of touched on that last week, right, when they said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Who is he speaking to here? Christ is speaking to believers. He is not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to believers. Who is they? He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. All nations. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. All right. So who is they? They is the people that he's been talking about in the previous sentence here, right? We have to go back to who he was talking about in the previous verse, the last people that he was talking about, right? Who was he talking about? Nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and then they will deliver you, okay? And who was he talking about? These other nations, everyone else, right? All these nations and kingdoms who are fighting against each other, then they're going to deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. They're going to fight against each other, and then they're going to come after you. So you're going to have wars, rumors of wars, And then they're gonna kill each other. They're gonna fight each other, and then they're gonna have famines and pestilences and earthquakes. That's just the beginning, though, because then they're gonna come after you. That's what's next. So that's what comes next in line, right? Wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. We talked about all this last week. We talked about this all last week, about how we have seen these things coming. Now, I'm not going to go back over all those things because, I mean, I had this big list of, you know, and I sort of grazed over them, if you will. I gave a sort of quickie list of these things, you know, how many from the early 1900s and then, you know, mid and late and from, you know, the early 2000s until now, et cetera. So if you want to hear all that, and if you want to hear Matthew 24 up through verse 8, then you can go and listen to last week's, because I'm not going to go back through that, okay? But we have been leading up to this for ever since the beginning of time, really, right? We have been leading up to this. And this this wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes, these have been slowly building over time. And if you go back and listen, you will hear that over the last 150 years, they have been building up more and more. And next is that they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations. Now, right now, Christians are hated by some nations. There are some places where you are not allowed to worship the one true and living God. Some nations. This says all nations. We are not there yet. But we are very close. Here in the United States, we are definitely on that road to being hated by our nation. Now, I was at a revival meeting last night, a tent revival meeting, okay? And there were some protesters out there. There weren't a lot. Maybe, I don't know, a dozen or so. Okay? Maybe a dozen. But obviously, there were people there who hated the idea of the truth of Christ being preached. Now, there were people you could hear every once in a while, cars that would go past and honk, and I even saw it when I pulled up because they were already out there. So there are people that would go by and they would honk and wave their support to the protesters. Now, I don't doubt that there were some that were also supporting the tent, the revival, the pastor, right? But we don't know which is which, right? We don't know. But here's the thing. The protesters were right out there at the street, waving and holding their signs up and whatnot. So more than likely, the honkers, right, were supporting them. Because, you know, that's what that usually is. So we already have this hate. Understand this. We already have this hate being promoted in the U.S.
by the people that are regulating, quote unquote, hate speech. They're the ones that decide what hate speech is. They make that decision. And so, they aren't capable of hate speech, according to them, right? And you cannot impart hate speech against Christians because we are not considered a protected people. Even though according to the Constitution we are, and even according to them we are, but here's the problem. We aren't religious. Right? Religion is protected. The problem is that we aren't really religious, are we? No. We belong to God. We belong to God. We are not religious people. In fact, I would go so far as to say we scorn religion as far as what religion is. Religion is what we now consider. Religion is what most of the churches of the world practice anymore, right? We don't have religion. We have a relationship with Christ. We have a relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. But these people only protect religion, which is like Catholicism, right? Etc. So let's make that very clear right in the beginning. They will protect the Antichrist's religion when it comes to that, but they're never going to protect us. If your church is religious and underneath the government umbrella, it will be protected. All they have to do is slip themselves underneath that government umbrella, and they will be protected. All right. So they're going to deliver you up to tribulation. There's that word. And they are going to kill you and hate you. So this is going to be persecution and betrayal by the church. The church is going to hate you. The church is going to persecute you. Because remember in verse 4, Christ said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many." The church is going to be in on that as well. They're going to be part of that. They're going to be part of that. Let's look at Luke 21. Let's go to Luke 21. And we are going to go to, we're going to start in Luke 21, verse 12. But before all these things, talking about earthquakes and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So in Luke 21, not only does he say that there are going to be these famines and pestilences, and the earthquakes, but he says fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, this could be like bad weather, meteors, comets, lightning storms, whatever. But in Luke, this is added to those earthquakes. This could be, since he talks in, let me just go back to this for a moment, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places, okay? But then in Luke, it's added fearful sights and great signs from heaven. It could be nuclear war, since we're also talking about nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, right? So we could be fearful sights and great signs from the heavens, right? It could be nuclear bombs. Don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm saying we don't know what that means. Don't know what that means. But we do know that it's going to be things that come down from out of the heavens. All right? So it could mean anything that is seen up there. Okay? God knows. That's all that's really important. Right? But then he's in Luke 12, or excuse me, in Luke 21, 12, it says, before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So this says before those things, and in verse 9 of Matthew 24, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you for my name's sake. So one says before, one says then. We don't know if it's going to be like right or all we know is it's going to be right around that same time, right? Because it says fearful sights and great signs from heaven. This could mean that all these things are going to be going on sort of simultaneously, right? That we're going to have these earthquakes. And we know that in some nations, this is already happening. See, where they're suffering persecution. So this is why I say some of this is already going on. It's already beginning. But my main purpose of bringing this up is because it says they're going to deliver you up to synagogues and prisons. The church is going to take part in this. The church is going to take part in this. Here is something else that's very important, though. If you don't know Christ, truly know him, you may be part of the church, and I'm talking about not God's church, in other words, not the invisible church, but the churches, and they come in and they lay hands on you to kill you, you're not going to have this ability that I'm going to talk about in Luke 21 next. And so what's going to happen is you're just going to give in. You won't be killed by them, but you're going to have an eternity of death because you won't have this answer that they're about to tell you in Luke. Because he says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to tell you what to say. He will give you the words. But if you are not truly a Christian, if you haven't truly given yourself to Christ, he won't have anything to give you. The Holy Spirit won't have an answer to give to you because you don't know him. Because you don't know him. See, in Mark 13, starting in verse 9, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. Councils, that's the churches. And you will be beaten in the synagogues. The churches. And you will be brought before rulers and kings, that's the government, for my sake, for a testimony to them. See, the reason we are going to be brought before these people is as a testimony. This is their chance to actually hear the true gospel. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. You see, this is when they're going to hear it. This is when all the nations will actually hear the gospel. It's when they bring us before them, persecuting us. They bring us before them for tribulation. Is this clear? Is this clear? We go through tribulation not so that the Antichrist can get his jollies off of torturing us. Do you really think that God would allow that? That's not why. The reason we're allowed to come in, to go through this tribulation, is so that these people hear our testimony. They hear about God. They hear about Christ from us for the last time. They will truly be without excuse. Truly without excuse. They will have heard the testimony of the gospel of Christ while they persecuted us for our faith. Do you see how important it is for us to actually go through this? Well, we sit here, many of us, and say, and I used to believe this until I saw this truth, until I listened to others who showed it to me, until the Holy Spirit said, look at this and read the order that it comes in Scripture. Read it. It says you will be delivered up to tribulation. You, Christian, you, believer, do not deny it. Do not walk away from it. Do not say, well, I don't believe a true and loving God would do that. You don't? Tell me about how the disciples died. Tell me about how Christ died. Look at what he went through. You don't believe a loving God would allow it for his people to be saved? Let me ask you something. If you have family, children, friends, loved ones who don't know Christ, would you not be willing to go through this for them to be saved? Because if you wouldn't, you don't have the love of Christ in you. I said that. I did. That's the love of Christ. That's God's love working through you. Are you really going to say, I'm not going to go through that. I'm going to walk away from it because I don't want anyone else saved like I am. I don't want to have that opportunity. Shame on you. Shame on you. And shame on me. Because I once had that same attitude. I did. I believed it. And then someone showed me and took me through this. And the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit one day said, sit yourself down and listen. Stop trying to make it all about you. Stop with the selfishness and the pride. Stay in love. Love, not of this, oh, well, you know, I just want to accept everybody for who they are and what they are right now in their sin. No. I can accept them where they are right now and realize that they are in sin but need to come out of it. They need to repent. They need to accept God's love. But they can't stay in it. They can't stay in that sin and still spend eternity in the midst of God. That can't happen. It can't. They cannot live with God in eternity and still be in the mess that they're in now. So we need to be part of what brings them out of it. And if that means that we go through tribulation as a testimony to them, saying, no, I will not. I will not reject my Christ. I will not reject my Savior just to get away from your persecution. I won't do it. And that they see that. And that we say, he is the sacrifice so that I can have this joy and stand in front of you, basking in the love of God. And here's why. Because this is who he is and what he does. And listen to what it says. Listen to what verse 11 says. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, Mark 13:11, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Now, if you think, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if I really believe that. I don't know if I have enough faith to go through it because I'm not sure that the Holy Spirit is actually going to speak through me. Then throw your Bible away. Go on. Turn me off, pick up your Bible, take it over, toss it in the trash can. Because you don't believe what it says. You don't believe God. You don't believe God. And if you don't believe that one verse, then you may as well, you don't believe anything. You don't believe anything he says. You have to believe every single bit of it. All of it, or walk away from all of it. This is God's word. I told you that last week before we started all of Matthew. Believe it all, or don't believe any of it. That's what God's word is. It's faith. It's belief. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit instilled inside of you because of salvation, then I'm telling you right now, you're not going to understand. You're not going to believe in any of this. That's why you don't believe. If you don't believe this word, then you need to check your heart. You need to check your heart because, listen, that's all this is God's word. Matthew 24, verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But, I'm still in verse 11, my mistake. But let's stay in verse 10 just for a, or excuse me. Yeah, I'm in verse 9 through 13. I need to just back up for a minute. The Holy Spirit's like, slow down, you're not there yet. You know, let's go back to Jeremiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah for a moment. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 1. Because this is so important. Jeremiah chapter 1. How much do you believe that God will protect you? We're going to go Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. To the nations. This is Jeremiah speaking, and he says the word of the Lord came to him. He's speaking to him, telling him, this is who you are. And this is who Christ is telling us, see, in Matthew 24, that this is going to happen. And so God's speaking to him at this time. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Is this how you feel? Like, I can't talk. That's not going to happen to me because I'm a youth, or because I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough about Scripture. I'm not going to be able to do it, Lord. Verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. See, God says, don't tell me who you are. I know who you are. Right? He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you. I know very well who you are. We act like, you know, God tells us to do something and we're like, listen, I know this. Because when God said to me, you're going to do this radio program, I said, I'm not so sure about this. I don't know about this. I am not so sure that I am capable, that I am the one you want, Lord. I don't really. Can you imagine that? See, that's what you're doing. Now, can you imagine me saying, Lord, I think you might have the wrong person. How dare I do that? Right? How can I say to God, you might have the wrong one? I'm just saying. Maybe you have the wrong person here, right? Because I'm not that person. I can't do that. Who am I to tell God that he is the wrong one? Whoa. But that's what we're doing when we look at these verses and we say, come on. He's going to give me the words to say? I'm not so sure I believe that. And that's what Jeremiah was saying here. I can't speak. I'm too young. I'm just a youth. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm just a youth in Christ. I don't know enough. I haven't read enough of the word. I can't do it. But God says, don't say that. Who do you think you are? You you're going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to go where I send you. And you're going to say what I tell you to say. That's what he's saying here in verse 7. You're going to say what I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of their faces. Don't fear the way they look at you. Okay, they're going to look at you funny. And, you know, they may be staring at you with an axe in their hand or a gun in their hand saying, do what I tell you or I'm going to kill you. Okay, is your point? For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What does that mean? I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you, he says. What is deliverance? Deliverance does not mean you're going to necessarily be physically delivered from away from whatever situation you're in. You may be. I can't answer that. It depends upon what the situation is, right? So you may be delivered from that, but you may not. You may not. But I'll tell you something. You are definitely going to be delivered if you're obedient to him and you speak and do as he tells you. You will be delivered. Your soul will be delivered. You're going to be delivered into eternity for following him. That's what you're going to be delivered. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be delivered. So, verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Think of that, the Holy Spirit, God, putting forth his hand and touching your mouth. Touching your mouth and putting his words in it. How glorious. I can almost feel him doing it, right? Like he's there. I know he gives me the words to speak all the time. How do I know that? Is it because I feel, like I literally feel his hand? No, I don't feel that. I don't feel his hand touch my mouth. But I know he gives me those words because I don't have them. Even right now, I can tell you as I speak these words, I can't tell you where they come from. Well, no, that's not true. I know where they come from. They come from God. But it flows from me. Without me having to think, without me having to write these words down somewhere beforehand, this is not me. This is God. This is totally God. Verse 10, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. What is it that we root out and pull down? What is it that we destroy and throw down? The enemy. The enemy. And what do we build and plant? We build and we plant the kingdom of God. That's what we do. This is so important, you know. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. And he says, don't fear them. Don't fear these people when you come before them. Because if you do, then I'm going to make sure that you are totally feared. Or that you have reason to totally be fearful in front of them. I'll give you reason. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar. What does that mean? It means you're something that they cannot come up against. And bronze walls against the whole land. You're fortified. You're protected. Against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Now, I have had many, many people, tell me, or I've heard them say, but it doesn't work because I'm not healed, or people don't listen to me. Okay, well, first, you don't know that. People may be hearing you. Just because they don't do what you want them to do, or because they don't get saved in front of you, does not mean they didn't hear what you said. It actually may mean that they heard you very clearly, they just didn't want to hear you. Or it could also mean that they don't want to obey God, right? They're going to ignore what you had to say. So, God will give you the words to say, but remember, he said, don't tell me that you can't do it. Don't tell me that you're too young. Do what I tell you to do. Do it. But remember, though, that we also do have a free will. And if you walk away from it and you say, I'm not going to do that. How are you going to get his protection? You see, we can have the protection of God, and he will tell us what to do. But if we ignore him, he's just going to throw up his hands and say, okay, well, good for you then. Go after it yourself. But if you try to do that on your own, you're going to fail. You will fail. Do you believe God will provide it for you? Do you believe him? Do you truly believe he's going to provide it for you? Because if you don't, I mean, you're not going to last through the tribulation. You won't. And you see, remember, God is weeding out wheat from tares. You may end up being a tare. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit is going to give you words. He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you the words to say. He will bring up verses of scripture. He will tell you what to say. If you will listen and not say, I'm just a youth. I'm too young to really know what you're talking about. Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Moses argued with God and said, I don't care what you say. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can not. I'm not going to be able to say it. I don't believe that you're going to give me those words. And even if you do, I just don't have the ability to talk. And God said, listen, just do what I tell you to do. Go. Say it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to tell you what to say. Verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Really? God told him, and then he told him again, and Moses said, I can't do it. I can't do it. Seriously? This was the Moses who God asked him who he was, and God said, I am who I am. This is who I am. And he had the rod, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. This is all these things. But then when Moses was going to talk to the other children of Israel, and he said, I just don't know what to say to them. And God said, I'll even give you the words. Just go talk to them. And Moses said, I can't do it. Just whined at him, right? I can't do it, Lord. Not me. And Moses or God said, yes, you can't. I'm even going to give you the words to say. Moses said, no, send somebody else, okay? I can't. I can't do it. Can you imagine saying that to God, the God who you all but saw? He passed right by you? So, verse 14, wouldn't you love to have this? So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Would you love to have the anger of the Lord kindled against you? I wouldn't. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, isn't that Aaron the Levite, your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. In other words, it's sort of like, I have the name right there in the front of my head. It's so funny. It's going to come to me, but anyway. So he's going to be this mouthpiece, right, for God. God is going to tell Aaron, or God's going to tell Moses, excuse me, and then Moses is going to tell Aaron. Because Moses is too scared. He can't talk to the people. So he says, well, you tell Aaron, and Aaron will tell the people. You know, Aaron's kind of a drip, right? He doesn't really have a heart for God. And Moses does, but at the same time, he's like, this kind of has me creeped out, God. I'm not sure if I can do this. So verse 16, so he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Just think about all this. Because Moses can't do it, won't do it. He's too fearful. Instead, he has to have Aaron do it. He can't. All right. Now, where are we next? Let's go back to Matthew. Back to the New Testament. I'm going back to Matthew 24. You know what? In fact, let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 41. Let me just get in here real quick. Isaiah 41. Ezekiel and Isaiah. Okay. And in Isaiah 41, we're going to go to verse 10. Fear not. Boy, Moses needed to hear this, didn't he? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is what he's telling us. This is what he wants us to hear. Don't be afraid. I'm taking care of you. I've got this. Why do you think you have to depend on yourself? We're supposed to be depending upon him. And yet we want to turn around and say, okay, I've been depending on you now for like a couple months. I got saved, depended on you. I realized I couldn't do it on my own. But now you got me rolling on my own. You got me where I need to be. I got this. I get it. I got this. Let me just roll on my own now. I got it. And to be frank, Lord, I don't need you most of the time. I mean, I can handle it. I just really need you to just sort of be there as a backup, kind of my wingman, right? Just be there just in case I start to slip a little bit and just need to, like, grab out and hold on for a second. Because, you know, I really only need you if things get real bad. You know, as long as things are going good, Lord, I got this. Right? Isn't that what we do? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Let's go to verse 16. All scripture, we did this last week too, but let's do it again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that comes from God, right? It all comes from God. And God can give us those verses when we need them, anytime we need them. Let's go to James 1. Yeah, you know I love James, right? James 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Liberally, as much as we need. And without reproach. And it will be given to him. You want God to tell you what to say? Ask him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. If you ask God, but you don't believe he's going to answer you, pretty good chance he won't. Let him ask in faith. Why? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Unstable. You're not going to get anything from God if you don't have faith, because you're waffling back and forth. You're worse than the politicians. Maybe he's going to do it. Maybe he won't. I'll be okay with it either way. Do you know why you do that? The reason you doubt? Because that way, if God doesn't answer you, you can say to your friend or your family member, yeah, I wasn't really sure it was going to work anyway. I wasn't sure it was going to happen. I know that, you know, this answering prayer thing, you know, it's sort of an up in the air anyway. So I'm not going to worry about it. Not. That's what it is. Right there. If I waffle, if I doubt, if I say, if it's your will, Lord, then heal me. Now, might you be going through chastisement? Might you be going through a James 1, 2 through 4 situation? Yes. Paul had one of those situations. But the situation is, it's not about whether or not God answers your prayer. It's about whether or not you believe he will. Do you believe or do you not? Might there be some situations where he says, you know, there's a reason why I'm not going to answer that. See, this is why we need to be in his will at all times. We need to be praying in his will. We need to seek his will. That way we know exactly what he wants for us, and we pray in his will. Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. I keep slipping back and forth here between Matthew 7 and Matthew, 16. Get in here, Matthew 10. All right, Matthew 10, and we're going through to verse 19. All right. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end. He who endures to the end. Think about that. He who endures to the end. Why do you need to endure to the end? To the end. If you're not going, if the rapture is before the tribulation. Why? You must endure to the end. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't die physically. It means that if you're alive, you must hold on to your salvation to the end. You can't walk away from God. You can't deny Christ. You can't deny Christ. All right. Let's look next at Mark 13. Mark 13. Let me get there. Mark 13, and we're going to verse 11. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand. I might have read this. I'm not sure. I don't see that I did. Okay. Anyway, it's just that there are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they have a lot of very similar, and so sometimes it sounds the same, right? Mark 13:11. Do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. That's who it is. It is the Holy Spirit. He is going to speak through you. And give you what? That testimony of Christ. Right? He's going to give you that testimony. And he's going to tell you exactly what to say. In fact, it says he's going to speak through you. He may. We don't know exactly how that will work at end times. Might it be different from how it is now? Maybe. When you get to that last point, you know, where you have to give that testimony, where you have to actually give that final, because it sounds like, and I can only say this, sounds like, because all I'm seeing here is that he's saying, sometimes he says it will be given to you what to say, and sometimes he says he will speak through you. So we don't know, right? We don't know if maybe there are sometimes he's just going to say this, and sometimes he's going to actually speak right through us. Don't know. I can't answer that. All I know is that we are not to think about it beforehand. We're not supposed to go to Scripture and find certain words and say, okay, on that day, when that comes, if I'm here, this is what I'm going to tell them. Or this is going to be my testimony. I'm going to tell them all about how I got saved. It's not up to you to decide. You don't make those decisions. God makes those decisions. God makes those decisions. He said so himself. He says so right here himself. All right, let's go to verse 11 in Matthew 24. Back to Matthew, we go. All right. So we're in verse 11 here. Then many false prophets will, I missed verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Will hate one another. We're talking about not just the secular world, but the church again. They're going to be offended. There's an awful lot of offense going on right now, isn't there? See, this is already starting to happen. People are offended, and they're betraying each other, aren't they? Don't we see this already? Are we seeing this? People betraying each other, hating each other. Hating. Hate. You hear all this hate speech they talk about, right? Isn't that what we hear? But what is the hate? I think I might have touched on this at the beginning. I don't remember for sure. But the hate, it comes from both sides, doesn't it? I hear people of the church that hate. I'm going to use that word. They hate non-believers who don't follow Christianity. Now, let me say this here. Why do you hate the unbelievers who are in sin? Seriously, why do you hate them? They aren't even believers. They're not believers. They don't even know God. They don't know Christ. They don't even... Remember what Christ said? God forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't even get it. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They have no clue. None whatsoever. You know who does know what they're doing? The ones who used to know God and have walked away. The ones who were saved and are now starting to preach falsehood. Those are the ones we're supposed to stay away from. We're still supposed to be preaching Christ. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel to unbelievers. What does 3 John say? 3 John says, hold on, or excuse me, 2 John, my mistake. 2 John says that we are going to have, he says, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. But we're talking about people who are preaching a different gospel. That's who we're talking about here. Deceivers. Deceivers. People who preach a different gospel. These are people who are heretics. People who don't preach Christ. They don't preach Christ alone, but what they preach is a works gospel or some other way to get to heaven, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about those. Now, am I telling you then that what we should do is like hang out and party with them? I'm not saying that either. But we are supposed to have some fellowship with them because we need to give them the gospel. So 2 John says, don't even talk to them. Those are the people who are preaching a false gospel. Nope, you're not supposed to invite them into your home and have, you know, dinner with them and sit around and just, no. No. Preach the gospel to them. That's okay. If they want to hear the gospel, it's okay. But let's talk about those Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you invite them into your home and have dinner with them? No. No. This is why if they come to my door and they say, no, you don't let them come in and talk to you. Well, that might be rude. Okay. That's all right. That's okay. What did Paul do when Peter was starting to walk away? He told him straight to his face in Galatians, stop it. Look what you're doing. You're cavorting with heretics. Stop it. You're walking away from the gospel. He said he told him right up to his face. Jehovah's Witnesses or any of those type of people come to your door, knock on the door, you open the door, who are you, what's going on? Well, you know, we've got this, you know, and we want to talk to you about it. I see. You know what I tell them? Works every time. I'll tell you what. You want to share yours with me? I get to share mine with you first. I don't invite them into my home. That's inviting evil into my home. I will stand at the door, and I will tell them about Christ. I will stand here and tell you about Christ. I guarantee you they're not going to do it. I've never had anybody say, okay, never. Never once. First thing I'm going to do is take them to verses in Scripture that talk about the Trinity. Okay? And they're going to walk away. So, no. No. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 11. False prophets. Let's talk about these false prophets. 2 Timothy. We may not get past verse 11, but we'll see. All right. So 2 Timothy. If we don't, we'll start in verse 12 next week. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. All right. Verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Wow. How much of that do we see now? Lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Do we not see that? Do you know that the satanic motto or whatever, in fact, I think it's on the front of the satanic like Bible or I don't know. I saw this like the other day. I was, you know, researching some things and I try not to focus too much on it because I don't want my mind and my spirit to be clouded by it. But it's like a satanic Bible or satanic, I'm not exactly sure. But it says on the front, And it's like their motto or whatever, do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt. In other words, be selfish. Everything should be about you. Oh, it's all about you. Sounds kind of like the 60s, doesn't it? You may not know. You may not know that if you weren't, you may not be old enough to know that. But the 60s were the me generation, right? It's all about me. I should get to do whatever I want. About me. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it was. And ever since then, it has been. And now it's funny because I know someone who's like, oh, no, we need to be unselfish and it needs to be about everyone else. You know, this is a younger person, 30-ish. And this is what everybody, you know, let me change that. Not everybody. But this is what the generations in general now are. They say that it's all about, oh, all we want to do is love other people. And we just care about them. And it's, you know, all about us caring about other. But that's not true. It's actually about everyone saying, I just need you to make sure that all you care about is me. See, it's selfish. It's not people saying, I just want to care about you. It's everybody else saying, I want to make sure that you are focusing on me. This is really important because it's a very slight difference. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in it. We see it. I told you I went to this revival meeting last night, right? And I saw this true, very loving working of the Holy Spirit there. God really moving. Love, joy, peace, just, I've never seen it en masse the way I saw it. I did not say in mass. I'm talking about Catholicism. En masse, you know, E-N-M-A-S-S-E. So much of it all in one place. So many people and so much joy and love just being spread in one place before. So many people just caring for other people without even thinking about themselves, okay? That's what I'm talking about. It was not overwhelming, but there's just no way of even putting it, no way of even explaining it. It was beautiful, just beautiful, wonderful. So this is the opposite of what they're talking about. The opposite. Because they're talking about what's really happening now. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Isn't that what we see now? Even the people who are saying, nope, you have to make sure that you people love us, right? Because they're not saying, hey, you know, we want you Christians, you rut the right, we want you to make, you know, we just believe that we should all be loving each other. No, no, they're saying you need to love us, but we don't need to love you. Isn't that what's happening? It's selfishness. They're lovers of self. They're lovers of money. They say they're not, but they are. They're saying, you all have to give your money to us. We don't have to give any to you, but you all need to give your money to us, and we should not be expected to work for it. They're lovers of money. They're boasters. Boasters. Now, this is both sides. It is. We have many people, right, left, even people who call themselves Christians. Look at us. This is who we are. We're better than them. This is on both sides. It is on both sides. I've seen it. If you think that you're a Christian and you don't, and you tell me that you've never seen it on the Christian side, this boasting, this pride, I disagree. I have seen it. Just admit it. We have a tendency to say, listen, we're better than them because we don't have adultery, lying, gossiping. Come on. Come on now. Homosexuality. Any of that in the churches. Really? Because I'm pretty sure the Methodist Church right now is having issues because they are demanding that the Methodist Church marry homosexuals in the church. Just saying. The Baptist Church splitting because, and I'm not saying a particular denomination of the Baptist Church, okay? But I'm saying there are Baptist denominations that are having issues. Baptist. It's going to hit them all, folks. In Matthew 24, it's going to hit them all. It is going to split individual churches right. No, I'm not going to say it. Not right down the middle. It's going to split them down the tenth. Because that's what Christ said. There's only going to be a tenth. It's a remnant. That's where we're going to be at. A remnant. Proud. Kind of goes with boasters, doesn't it? We have so much pride in the church. And I mean, we look at the LGBTQ and they call themselves pride, right? There's so much pride in the church. Come on, people. Look at the pride. Just admit it. We need to admit to ourselves that we are full of pride and then repent of that. Cast it off. Give it to God. Repent. We have that issue too. Get rid of it. Admit it and get rid of it. Blasphemers. Blasphemers. Some of it's in the church. It's definitely outside the church as well. But there is blaspheming in the church. Not all of them. I'm not saying that it's in your church. It might be. I don't know your church. Disobedient to parents. Oh, my goodness gracious. Isn't that everywhere? You got PKs that are disobedient. Don't we? Come on now. I've seen it. I saw it back in the 70s. I grew up in the 70s and saw it in the 70s. Come on. Don't tell me it isn't. Unthankful. Unholy. I'm almost at the end of today, and I'm just getting started. Unthankful. When's the last time somebody told you thank you? Thank you. Unholy. That just means set aside. Holy means set aside. These people don't act like they're set aside, do they? As Christians, do we act like we're set aside, set apart all week long? No, we go to church on Sunday, maybe Wednesday night, and the rest of the week, we act like everybody else. At least most of us do. Do I? Do you? Do we act holy, set apart? unloving, do you treat others with love? Whether they are saved or whether they aren't. Unforgiving. Who do you need to forgive? Who are you still holding bitterness towards? Who do you need to forgive? Because I guarantee you, there's someone in your life that you need to forgive. I had to come to terms with that last night. At this revival meeting I went to. Go to a good revival meeting. I mean a good one. A really good one. Not just for somebody just preaching and go home. I'm talking a good old-fashioned revival meeting. You will find yourself repenting of everything that you did and your neighbor too. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you, folks. Unforgiveness, bad. Bad, bad thing to have inside you. It grows a root of bitterness in you. Slanderers. You slandered anyone recently? Be sure what you're saying is necessary, kind, true. Without self-control. Do you have a problem with self-control? I mean, I'm not talking to any particular person. I don't even know who's listening. I have no way of looking to see who listened to this. So I don't know who you are. Brutal. Despisers of good. Brutal. Are you brutal? Do you get angry? Throw temper tantrums? Throw things? Hit people? Do you? Despisers of good. Do you prefer just going out and, you know, causing trouble? You just kind of, you know, get a kick out of that? Rather than just, I mean, I know people who will say, yeah, kind of get a kick out of it. And they're Christians, or at least claim to be. I don't know. I can't, you know, that's between them and God. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Do you know how many churches actually deny the Holy Spirit? Father, we thank you so much for this evening. And we just ask that those who have listened tonight will take what they have heard, apply it to themselves where necessary, and use that this week to bring the Holy Spirit closer into their lives and to a more loving relationship with you. In Christ's name, amen. I'll see you next week, folks. Have a wonderful, blessed week in the Lord. Good night.